Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Hey, folks, this is episode number 255, and this week we have Chris Dunnett from the Iron Maiden tribute band, Power Slave. But before we get to that, of course, we have our regular shenanigans. What you got going on this week, Bill?
Just got back from Florida. I took a week off because they paid me at work to leave. And I had to leave you guys, too, when I went, so I got paid twice.
Well, it was a bonus all around.
What's really nice about that is where you got all of the heat. I went up to Indianapolis to spend some time with my son.
And help
him build a fence. No, it wasn't snow.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
The day that we went and bought all the materials, it freezing rained the whole damn day. So we didn't get to start on the fence till the next day.
Yeah, I was laying
on the plus side, on a beach.
On
the plus side, he and I work really well together when his mother is not around. So we did a pretty good job of putting up a fence. And I asked him at the end, I was like, so are you ready to go into business as a fence builder? And he's like, fuck no.
Some hard work.
Well, honestly, I don't think putting up a chain link fence is hard at all. I have not done a wooden fence yet, and I have no intention of ever putting a wooden fence together.
They suck. I've done that once, and it sucks.
Other than replacing some of the planks on mine, that's about as wooden fence work as I'm going to get.
about as much wood as
you're going to handle. I understand.
And more wood than I got. Is that all you got, Bill?
Yeah, I just laid on the beach, man. I did not go to one record store. Looked around a little bit at like I was going to, but never did, man. Just chilling. Good week.
Cool.
Now I have leprosy. So
yeah. I had a pretty good week. I mean, I have to admit, you know, I don't get to see my son as often as I'd like. And, you know, I was up there for a few days and then they came down here for a few days. So it was nice getting to spend that much time with him and the dogs and, you know, all of that stuff. But glad they all went home now because they were all making us nervous, us old people.
I'm all sad. I didn't do nothing. I stayed at home. I got my second COVID shot today, though. I'm getting mine
Saturday.
I'm chipped up. Ready to go.
Speaking of that, I posted on Facebook yesterday. Today is Tuesday. So yesterday I posted on Facebook that something to the effect that, you know, you're essentially already chipped if you carry a smartphone. And that got a pretty nice good thread of comments on it and conspiracy theorists and trying to turn it into a conversation that I never started, you know. So for those of you who are listening that read that, I was not talking about vaccines. I never brought up vaccines. I never brought up DNA. So fuck y'all. Love you, Jason.
One thing I have figured out with that second shot is every time I fart, the garage door opens. But other than that, everything's fine. So
yeah. Well, I found out after I got my first shot that they actually put the chip in your second shot. So there's that.
No. Scream through my veins as we talk.
Mine's in a filling from back in the early 60s, from back in the 60s, I think.
For those of you who do not understand, this is sarcasm.
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty much. I got a blister on my lip from the sun. I got roasted.
It's herpes.
Yeah, it hurts like a mother.
Slurpees.
Like a mofo. Slurpees.
All right. We got any album acquisitions this week?
Dennis does. I do. I have two, actually. I forgot about that.
Now, I got a good one over there. Week?
I got
do
two.
Do I have any this week?
Yeah.
Well, what do you think?
Yes. You do.
I do. Courtesy of our friends in the band Pump 5. There you go. I have a vinyl.
There you go.
I also got around here somewhere.
Looks familiar.
A CD.
Yeah.
Same material.
Got one too.
Got a couple of stickers.
Yeah.
Stickers. And Dennis is the special one because these are the shirts that Bill and I got.
That's what I expected to get, but I got one that looks like a.
Dennis got the Jack Daniels shirt,
which is really cool.
But that's okay because I'm cool with either shirt.
Yep. I appreciated everything that we got.
Absolutely.
Thank those guys very much, and can't wait for the album to come out, and they will be coming back on whenever.
Absolutely.
Whenever it is on. So.
Oh, they made a mistake. They put their phone number on the back of their record.
There we go.
Oh, and by the way, my wife just got home. Do you hear the dogs?
Yeah, I hear them.
So no, thanks to Steve and Todd Barnett. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And Andrew and Andre and Alex. Appreciate it. Awesome. Bill, what else? What'd you get?
I'm getting heated up. I posted something on Facebook and I need to turn that shit off before I end up telling one of our Facebook buddies to go suck a dick.
Anybody I know?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got Survivor Premonition. So you'll notice this little tag. I sent this to Dennis. You guys, you'll think this is funny.
Yeah,
so,
I know exactly where you got it.
Lisa was in Evansville, so I had her go get him. I had her pick up. She went there and video did a little video foot through for me. And I got Glenn Fry the All-Nighter. So two things I've been kind of looking for. They were like $3, so no big deal. But awesome. I got the Pump 5 thing, so cool. There you go.
All right. Well, I got the Pump 5 thing, too. We all got pumped this week. I do have one album that I'm going to try to sell. I was on a...
You're going to try to sell it?
Yeah, I was on a... I was on one of the auctions the other night, and I got Anthrax. It's called 8. And Volume 8, The Threat Is Real. And it's brand new.
I've never heard you talk about Anthrax before.
I like Anthrax, but I don't like Anthrax.
I've sent it before, but I've never.
Anyway, this has the other singer on it, and it's not good at all. I don't
like John Bush.
Yes, and I'm not a big threat. So I'm not even going to open it. I listened to it on Spotify and I'm like, so this will be going up for sale at some point. If somebody wants it, let me know.
I give you a dollar.
No, I paid a lot for that.
Okay, $150. $150.
So anyway, and then I did get the auction there. I did get also Alice Cooper's Detroit Stories. I liked it. I've heard mixed reviews.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of mixed reviews.
It's Bob Ezrin produced it, so of course it's got some corny songs and stuff. But of course it's on it's on red vinyl, which is cool. I think it's a really. I've listened to it. I've listened to the album. I've listened to it on Spotify. And
doesn't it have basically a bunch of the old Detroit rockers on there as guest musicians?
Yes, it's not his traveling.
I haven't listened to it yet, but I've also heard the mixed reviews. Just haven't made time to give it a good listen. I've heard the song that he released as a single.
Right.
We played that as a fresh cut on
Social Debris. I'm not a big fan of that song at all.
I didn't care for that song, but I did hear the song I Hate You.
Right.
I think that song's pretty cool.
There's one called Go Man Go. It's real punky. It reminds me of on Sound City where they had the guy from, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, that guy from Fight was singing. Don't you remember? Did you watch Sound City? They did that punk song. But Your Wife Is Calling. Anyway, it sounds a lot like that song. So, the biggie. I got it today. I was on Facebook. It was on a Sunday. And Space Monkey went through and they flipped through their bin, said, we're here till 6 if you're interested. And I seen this album and I'm like, yes. I texted them and I said, I want it. But I said, I can't get there till 2, but I can get there Monday. And they said, well, we're closed on Mondays. We'll keep it for you till Tuesday. So, and then I picked it up and the girl says, and it was like 5 minutes after they posted it. And she said, after I sent it back, I got 14 other people wanting that album.
Wow.
Is it a Flock of Seagulls greatest hit?
No. It is an OG, Bill.
It is Aha.
No,
it's the Hooters.
It's an OG. Dio.
Holy nice. Diver.
You cannot find that album.
That is cool.
And to buy Discogs, cheapest price I could find was $55. And I got it for $45.
I think I have that.
Actually. I got it for $45. But it's hard to find. I have looked and looked and looked. And if you could ever find one there, I've seen them $90, $75, whatever. I got it for $45, and it's a VG Plus cover, but the record is absolute mint. It's got the original insert with it, but the record looks like it's never been played. So I'm real happy with that. I'm like, yeah,
right on.
I went OG, Bill. You should be proud of me.
I'm shocked, actually. I just can't believe you actually did that.
So, I would have bought any version of it if I could find it. You just can't find a damn thing.
I'm trying to see if I have it. I'm looking at my. discographic.
I've got the I've got Last in Line, but I don't have Holy Diver. So I was looking for the, those two. The rest of them, Sacred Heart, I'm not a big fan. I had that on cassette.
I like that album. Ago. It's got a
yeah, Closer to Heaven.
Or yeah, and it's
Hungry
got
for, Hungry for Heaven. That's
one. Yeah, it's got a what is it?
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. What's the song? Children, something about children. Rock and Roll Children. Oh, it's got Rock and Roll Children.
Yeah. So I used to have that on cassette, and that's about the only two good songs on it. But I like these first two albums.
Well, that's your opinion, man.
Yeah, that's my opinion. But that's what I got, and they look like the store. I hadn't been in Space Monkey for a long time, and they look, they got stereos now, and turntables are selling. Used turntables,
really?
New turntables. The store looks a lot bigger, a lot fuller. I just, with spending $45, I had to get home to do this, but I was like, I don't know. I told her, I said, I'd like to browse, but I said, I can't afford to browse. I buy one of these, and I'm done for a week or two. And I had went to Book Broker the other day, and I picked one up, but I put it back, and they just didn't. They were down to one bin. Bill cleaned them out the other day. Or
I bought two Lisa. Records, dude.
I know.
I wonder why. Oh, they've changed the format of discography.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah, I had that on the other day, and they wouldn't let me do something.
Yeah, it's weird.
But I got a new.
I can't look at my shit, man.
But I got a new phone, so that's why I thought it maybe was different. Because I got the iPhone 12 now. Yes.
Are you guys about ready to have this conversation?
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Do this.
All right, here we go. All right, folks, we have Chris Dene here from Power Slave. How you doing, Chris?
Doing great. Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that was great. See y'all next week.
That has to be actually the best backdrop. Ever.
Yeah, no shit.
Oh, cool. It's actually our stage banner. Yeah, I set it up in my studio here just that's to give some ambiance to the podcast.
That's pretty freaking wicked, man.
Yeah, I'm working with a cardboard box that's been sitting here for what now, 8 shows?
And three months, 7 months. I don't know. It's
been there forever. I don't do much in this room but podcasts and video games. So that's it.
And he's a DJ on a radio station every Thursday night.
Oh, nice.
Turn the lights down and wine, and then my mic. And there we go.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. You can tell by the end of the episode or the end of the night how much wine the captain has drank.
Exactly right.
It's a booze cruise. That's what we do.
Yeah. It is.
So, anyway, you are the lead guitar player for an Iron Maiden tribute called Power Slave.
Correct. Yeah. I do all of Dave Murray's parts. Yes.
Awesome.
Well, cool. Tell us how Power Slave got started, how long it's been around, and all of that fun stuff.
Sure. It got started because our singer, Terry Pallas, he was doing this local Iron Maiden tribute band called Iron Tribe, where it was basically just a bunch of friends that would all get up and switch out one another and play a bunch of Iron Maiden songs. And they always do a show anytime Iron Maiden plays in town the night before. And a couple tours ago, they did that. And it was the first time I had ever met Terry. And I went to see this Iron Tribe, and they opened up with Where Eagles Dare. And literally like the first verse out of his mouth, my chin just hit the floor and went to China. And I was like, holy fuck, where's this guy been all my life? Cause he sounded so much like Bruce Dickinson. I could not believe it. So I went up and introduced myself afterwards. I said, dude, we got to do something like this, like on a bigger level. And we talked about it for a while off and on. And oddly, you know, we're in Nashville. That's where I live, Music City. And oddly, as many great guitar players as are here, we try to find another guitar player first because, you know, with Iron Maiden, the harmony parts are so intertwined. It has to be someone where we gel very well playing wise and, you know, has good chemistry. And I just could not find a guitar player who either was up to the caliber, or the ones that were up to the caliber just didn't have the time, or they were involved in their other projects or weren't interested in stuff. So Terry and I tried to put this together like for over a year or so at least. And then finally, he just kind of threw a thing on Facebook. He kind of got fed up waiting, and I saw it there on Facebook again. I said, yeah, well, you know, you can count me in because we've been talking about it. And our bass player, Mark Warner, who is a mutual friend of ours, he saw the post. He said, well, I'm definitely in. And so the three of us kind of formed it. And then we had our first drummer, who was from Italy, living in Nashville. He's since moved back to Italy. We had to part ways with him for some different level reasons. But but we had him as a drummer, and then I got a guitar player who I'd already known. I just didn't know if he'd be interested. And as soon as I told him, I said, man, you want to be an Iron Maiden tribute band? I was like, fuck yeah. So our other guitar player, Hatton, and he and I, you know, play really well. Our harmonies are really tight. We obviously get together and work on them together outside of practice, but we just gel really well as guitar players. And that's such an important thing with Iron Maiden. So and so now we've got a new drummer, Zach Ballard, who's just been dynamite. He's a total showman and a, you know, ball of energy and just really, really solid drummer. So we've been together probably about, I guess, a year and a half. July will be 2 years because we did our first show in February of 2020. And then COVID hit and we all know what happened there. Wow. So exactly. And it kind of really sucked because right after our first show, we had a lot of booking agents who were interested in, you know, what we did because we got some video from the show and a lot of people were excited about it, but then, you know, it was crickets. There was nowhere to play or anything. So now things are starting back, open back up. We did a show here in Nashville on January 5th and we're playing Huntsville, Alabama on April 3rd. 2 weeks, and then April 24th, Louisville, Kentucky. We've got Birmingham, Alabama booked in July, and we're starting to get more things booked up now that things are starting to open up, you know, again. So, you know, we're pretty excited to be playing again and really looking forward to the show in Huntsville coming up.
Well, that might answer.
I'm really tempted to go to the show in Louisville,
Kentucky. Yeah, where is that?
Where's that at in Louisville?
Louisville Billiards is where we're playing. Yeah, they have a pretty big stage from what I understand. I mean, moderately big. It's like a 16-foot stage. I know our friends Thunderstruck, the AC/DC tribute band, they played there.
We'll have to look it up. That's 2 hours for me.
When did you say it was?
April 24th, Saturday night, April 24th. Yeah, Louisville, Kentucky, Louisville Billiards.
I'm writing it down right now.
As of right now, my calendar is open, but over the last 2 weeks, my calendar started to fill up again. So,
where do all
the sound man jobs are coming back too.
Good. That's good.
Where do all of us?
Where are you guys located at?
I'm just south of Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Up 65.
And then Alan and I are Evansville, Newburg area.
Indiana. I was just out there last week.
So we're around.
Can only known.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, well, if there's a cool place for us to play in Evansville that has a decent sized stage, you know, let me know. Hit me up because we'd love to play out there because I got a lot of friends in Evansville. So
I can send you a link to three places you could probably, actually two places that you probably fill in, because actually there's been some of the guys, there was a guy from Nashville that came up to play at Boken. People we knew, but we couldn't get to the show. Alan,
Great Affairs.
Yeah, Great Affairs.
They
played at the Boken, and you got also Casey's. That's got a big enough stage.
I was going to suggest Casey's.
That'd be the bigger place. So this may answer my question then, because when I went onto YouTube, Alan sent me the link to your, you have an official Power Slave video that you showed, when I put in their Iron Maiden tribute Power Slave, it came up with a few videos, and I saw those guys. Are some of those videos from the earlier days when you guys were doing that kind of changing people kind of deal? Because there was
no. There's a band called Power Slave, I think in Italy, and so that might have been what you came across.
Maybe that's what it is, because I kept telling Ellen, I said, I'm seeing a different singer and I'm seeing a different
It's been the same lineup, except we switched drummers. So our promo videos and a couple live videos have our original drummer. There's one live video on there of Wasted Years that has our current drummer, and we're hoping to get, you know, more video from these shows.
There's a video that's on there is like a phone video where it's real distorted sound. There was one that was, I thought it was you guys recently, but it was maybe, I was just pulling it up, but I told Alan, I said, something's going on, cause I keep seeing all kinds of different people. And I said, it's either a different band they've had a bunch of people change in their band.
Right. Yeah. No, it was a different band. Yeah. There's one from overseas. I don't know if they're still even together or not. But yeah, that's probably what you came across, because most of the videos are pretty pro shot.
Right. And I tell you what, to say the good thing was, is I told Alan I seen three different singers. He said, yeah, what do you think? I said, well, there was two bad ones and there was one good one, and you guys have the good one. So there you go. the pro one, that was one that was he's really on. And he had the actions too of
and the funny thing
Bruce
is
Dickinson.
He's like that at rehearsal. He doesn't do that for sure. I'm not kidding you. I get a kick out of him at rehearsal. Watch him. You know, he's got the moves down, everything. I love it. Guy's so passionate and energetic. He's a blast to work with. So, yeah.
That's what a tribute band's about. The one guy I seen, he was kind of halfway doing it. The other guy didn't even do anything. And then when I saw your promo, I'm like, he's got it. That's the moves. You know, I've seen Iron Maiden a few times. I know, you know. Yeah. So, well, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to really, do justice and pay tribute as much as we can to get as close as possible to the real thing. Cause we're all big Maiden fans, myself especially. So, I mean, none of us want to do something and do it half-assed. So we really spend a lot of time trying to get a lot of the little subtle things together. I mean, obviously we don't look like the guys, and we're not trying to, look like them, but we kind of dress as an homage to them, on stage a bit, and, just try to keep it, as, like I said, as close to the real thing as possible.
So, Chris, what was your draw? So you've obviously been a Maiden fan for a day or two, right? So yeah. What was your, when did you start? What was the, what got you into that? What was the kicker?
Two things, actually. A buddy of mine used to hang out at a record store, and he was such a regular there. The guy gave him a button one time that was the Iron Maiden Killers album cover button, which he still has. And I just saw that and just thought, wow, that looks so cool, And then like a couple weeks later, another friend of mine actually had bought the Killers album. And he said, Chris, you got to hear this band. So he came over and played Killers. And I just heard, that opening bass line. And until then, I never really heard like rock songs that were driven totally by the bass guitar, which I thought was so badass. And I was just like flipping out. We listened like the whole album. And it's, oh my God, these guys are, incredible. And he said, oh yeah, they're opening up for Judas Priest in Dayton next week. And I'm like, I gotta go. So like, I went to school and I was like asking everybody, and I ended up riding up with like two guys I didn't even know who were much older than me, just so I could get to the show to see Iron Maiden. So I actually got to see them on the Killers tour, which was pretty cool, because that was with Deano. So
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. What? So is that? How old were you then?
14, maybe something like that. Yeah. Yeah, somewhere around there.
That would have been in what year then? It'd be
81, 82, something like that.
Yeah.
Because Bill and I saw them.
It would have been younger, more than that, because I saw them on the Number of the Beast tour, and that was, I think, either 82 or early 83. So, yeah, it's probably like 80 or 81, something like that.
Yeah, because we saw them on the Power Slave tour.
Yeah, Power Slave, and that was 85, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, 85.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw him six times in that tour alone.
Oh wow,
that was a good tour.
Oh yeah,
I saw it at an outdoor tour at an outdoor theater, and it was really, really good. Lisa doesn't think that, but
yeah, it's funny. If you ask my wife what's the worst concert I've ever taken her to, you could probably hear her hollering from in there. Iron Maiden, she just hated it. She felt like she'd been punished. So yeah, she deserved it probably.
But I did get to see him this last tour up at Rudolph in Indianapolis, and that was amazing.
I worked that show. I did merch.
Oh, really?
So if you bought a shirt, you might have bought from me.
Cool. That was I was going to ask you how you came across the name Power Slave, but I guess seeing them six times on that tour might be a little bit of an indicator.
Yeah. Originally, we had a different name. Oh my God, I can't remember what the name was. Now it was a play on the word Iron Maiden.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
No. You don't want like Run to the Hills. You don't want that name because people will run away from you.
We've gotten kickback because we're Power Slave, and in this cancel culture, politically correct world we live in, we've gotten some kickback from having the word slave in our title. Like, it's an album cover name. Come on,
I double dog dare a bunch of people to go to a Power Slave tribute band concert and bring that up.
Well, please, and let me be there too, because
leaving.
right. So yeah, we had a different naming. I can't even think of what it was. But it, and then we decided it just didn't sound cool enough, and we just kind of wanted to go with Power Slave. I think our singer brought it up, and I was like, well, yeah, that's perfect. So let's do it. And so we've kind of went with that as our, stage theme for the most part and stuff. Although right now we're actually designing a smaller stage, because currently with our current stage set, we need like a 24-foot stage to play. And so that negates a lot of, other places. So we were actually scaling down with a little bit of a different design too. So we have like a B stage for smaller venues, but we don't want to play anything like under a 16-foot stage, because we still got other stuff, to really bring the show to life that we want to be able to use. So
cool. So with Power Slave, with that, using that name, do you have to have approval for that, or is it not trademarked?
Actually, Iron Maiden did not trademark it as their album title name. It's kind of a tricky thing. It's obviously their word, their term. I've never heard the term Power Slave except for in relation to that album. But my understanding too. I've met the guy several times, but not since I've been in this band. But my understanding is that they are very, very cool about tribute bands, and have a lot more leeway with what tribute bands are able to do. Has been my understanding. So I'm hoping we don't run into an issue of that. We're not wanting to by any means. We're not trying to infringe on anything Iron Maiden related whatsoever. You know, that's why we even actually put now in our logo almost anywhere, we always put Power Slave, the Iron Maiden experience, so that it shows that we're one, a tribute band, and we're paying tribute to them and not trying to claim, you know, ownership or anything.
Cool. Yeah, I know that gets tricky. I know that it's, there are some people that have had to make some changes and stuff like that. I forget who we were talking to one time that that became a big issue for them. And I just don't remember exactly. Well, I remember having the conversation.
We had the restaurant Maidens here in Evansville. That
yes.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, that's what we were talking about then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, exactly. So now they call it Damsels, and they use the same font that's on your Power Slave.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting. I when I was there last week, I wanted to drive by just to see, because I'd heard that they had to change the name or something. It's funny because I got a picture of it from a couple years ago when I was there. And saw that. I was like, well, that's obviously Maiden related. So I had to take a phone picture of it and stuff. But
yeah, there's
I think it all comes down to like how particular, you know, the main band wants to be. You know, if they want to be, you know, jerks about it to, you know, a tribute band, they can. Right. But I think, you know, most bands, if they're smart anyway, you know, are going to take it as, hey, that's free promotion. That's keeping our stuff out there for us. You know,
maybe it depends on if the band sucks or not.
and they're not Gene Simmons or Paul Stanley. There you go.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a lot of Kiss tribute bands out there using a lot of Kiss.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Logos.
The funny thing was, is I never really go to the West Side very often, except for in the summertime. They have a farmer's market in that where the old library is. There's a big lot across from where that the Maiden's place is. And Kelly, I drove by one day. And I'm like going, the fuck is Iron Maiden? Because I didn't even see, because this with that font, I'm like going,
right,
fucking Iron Maiden, what the hell is that? I told my wife, I was like, that's really fucked up.
But it's pretty funny though how we're all kind of, you know, you get, you know, when you see certain logos or you see certain colors, or you see
the Dynasty, you see the Dynasty font, and you just think of Kiss. I mean, yeah, it's just
it doesn't matter, you just automatically. It's crazy. It's kind of funny. And you're right. Yeah. It's with Iron Maiden too. Some of those very unique fonts, when you see any of that anywhere, you're like, oh, wait, what is that?
I think that if Maidens had just changed the font, they probably would have been able to keep
that. Probably. I think so too.
Yeah.
And they probably wouldn't have had to change it a whole lot.
Right.
Probably would have changed it just enough to where it had some differences.
Right.
Yeah, and that's again why we put the Iron Maiden experience, so that we, you know, try to avoid, right, you know, confusion like that. Like that, you know, I am not a Pearl Jam fan. I honestly can't stand the band, but I have to side with them with that recent thing that came up where they had to put a cease and desist to a Pearl Jam tribute band because they spelt Pearl Jam G-A-M-M, you know, and it's like, that's right, one letter away. It's like so easy. Someone could drive by and miss the other M and think Pearl Jam's actually playing there.
Right.
So, you know, things like that, I think, are just, you know, too close or too, can be too confusing. So we want to make sure we avoid any confusion, so people don't think, oh my God, Iron Maiden's playing there. You know, no, it's a tribute band. So,
well, you know, to your point, so a lot of, like, you know, the Kiss tribute band stuff uses a Kiss logo, but they're called something different. Like they'll, you know, Mr. Speed has a Kiss, has, you know, yes, those kinds of those, right, guys and stuff like that, because we know Rich and stuff. But yeah, I didn't think about that. You're right, they don't use, they're called something different so that it doesn't there isn't that conflict,
right?
You, I mean, yeah, if you want to look at Blonder Than Hell, I mean, this guy's actually now, I mean, they had the Kiss sign that actually flashed and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And, you know, three of the guys played with Gene Simmons.
They probably got out of Gene's basement.
And you know what, and Gene was like, you know, whatever you got to do, because it was all for charity and stuff, so they didn't.
Oh, yeah,
care,
yeah.
So,
those guys are all real good buddies of mine. As a matter of fact, Christopher Williams, the drummer.
Yeah.
Except now he was using Peter Criss's drum kit that he had bought.
Yeah.
For that Blonder Than Hell. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
we all got to go drool all over that at the first Rockin' Pod.
Nice.
We actually helped carry it out. Remember that?
We stayed around and carried it out that night. Yeah, we were real good friends with all of, you know, Phil.
We were roadies.
Oh, yeah. Ryan, yeah, I know you guys have had them on the show.
They're great. Stuff. They're great guys.
So, when you guys put a show together, do you do like just the quote unquote hits, or do you try to do a balance of the songs that the general fan knows and then the songs the diehard fans knows? How do you go about your set list?
We have a couple deep cuts. We try not to stray too far because, you know, there are, you know, some people that if, you know, you pulled out something like To Tame a Land where, you know, you're going to lose the audience or something, you know. So we try to at least stick with the more popular ones. But, I mean, it's not just I mean, we throw in all their hits. I mean, obviously you got Number of the Beast and Wasted Years and Run of the Hills and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, we throw in like The Clairvoyant. That's one of our favorite songs, which is a little bit more of an obscure track. And we do Running Free, Murders in the Rue Morgue. So, you know, there's some deeper cuts for the diehards that, you know, they may not be expecting to keep it interesting.
So you go from the first to the last album. I mean, you're just kind of going all
mostly yeah. Right now, the latest track that we do is probably actually The Clairvoyant. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about adding, you know, The Wicker Man, and, you know, maybe a couple of the later things. But again, you know, some of the later stuff, even though they're great albums, got, you know, I don't think as many people are going to know them except for the total diehards.
Well, even people that like, I mean, I don't consider myself diehard, but I love Iron Maiden. I'm like you. These later albums, I don't know. I know Wicker Man. I know.
Right.
Even this last show, they played a couple of songs that I was like, I maybe have heard them, but didn't really, you know what I'm saying? But they were great songs. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But they're just not the ones that I, you know, I think I got through Somewhere in Time. What was the album after Somewhere in Time? That's kind of where I kind of dropped off, you know, because it's just, you know, and that, but, you know, I got a great bunch of recordings to listen to, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. So it's like, I did.
Yeah. So currently we're doing stuff up to Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. Okay. Like I said, we were talking about adding in like The Wicker Man, some other stuff on Brave New World. Right. But yeah, that, you like you said, that's where a lot of people started to kind of just lose track. It's sure. Not like they're bad albums or bad songs. They just, people didn't keep up with it as much. So not as many people know it.
Right. It'd be hard. Like I said, it's hard to be like, we've talked to other tribute bands and, you know, picking those songs are tough. I mean, it's one of those things, and you don't want to go out and just do exactly what they did on tour either, because you don't want to be a complete copy, but then you're going to, you know, so I'm sure, is there a song that you really, really wanted to do and you haven't been able to do it as far as maybe you didn't, people don't want to do it, or it's just.
The one I'd really like to add, and we may at some point, cause there's been talk of, is Phantom of the Opera. Off the first album, and you know, that's a little bit of a deeper cut, but it's one that a lot of people do know because it's off the first album. And you know, the other thing, when you get into like longer songs, like we talked about doing Rime of the Ancient Mariner, but you got that whole slow section in the middle where that's going to be a bathroom break, you know, when you do that live, you know, unfortunately. And so, and also by the time you work up a song that long, you could add in three other songs. So you run into that as well. And then, you know, there was talk, well, why don't we do it? Maybe not do the slow section, but then the diehards are going to be, oh man, they cut it short. They didn't do the, you know, whole thing. So yeah, you kind of walk a fine line with a lot of those things.
Well, that's where you get your use out of your smoke machine, number one. And if you do pull it off and it does sound cool, people are going to trip balls.
Oh yeah.
Cause if I seen a band do Rain of the Ancient Mariner to the T with all the shit and the creaking of the ship and the smoke and everything, I'd be like going, fuck yeah. So I'd be one of those ones. It would be one of those ones, I guess you'd have to just kind of read your crowd. You know, you'd have to go through your a little bit and go, okay, this is the kind of crowd I think we can pull it off. Right. And if not, throw your three extra songs in, you know, whatever you have to do.
Yeah. So. And like, we're talking about doing like Brave New World right now. And that's kind of a concern of mine too for that one, because it's kind of long and the whole intro is pretty slow and drug out. And I'm afraid that we're going to lose the audience, you know, on something like that. But you're right. That's the tricky thing, is that there's so many great songs to choose from. There's a lot of songs, you know, we'd all like to do, you know, just a matter of, and then eventually we'll rotate things out too. You know, we were hoping to have had a whole lot of shows under our belt by now, but because of COVID, you know, we're basically kind of starting over with it all. So once we get some, you know, shows and go out and play some places, you know, we'll mix in some other things and stuff for sure. And
you guys do Flight of Icarus?
Yeah.
God, I love that fucking song. Singer gets workout on that one.
Yeah. So did you have a bunch of shows then booked last year before the whole COVID thing hit? Or had you? I mean, you said you had a couple of shows already. So was it?
We did one show before COVID. That was our debut show, and then we had booking agents that were setting up some things. So we had some things that were like tentative or pseudo confirmed. I mean, they just weren't talk. They were like, "Yeah, we've got you three dates outside of Chicago. We got you Knoxville, Chattanooga. You know, some other things and stuff like that." And so then
set up, and then not.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, wow. Yeah.
And then actually, our next show got canceled because of a tornado that hit Nashville. Because actually supposed to play with Thunderstruck here. We were going to open up for them, and the Basement East, where they were scheduled to play, we were going to open, got demolished. It just now rebuilt. So. It was like one thing after another. First a tornado, then COVID, and then the explosion that we had here. That was our show January 5th. We thought that was going to get canceled because actually the venue we played, Bowie's, they got hit by the explosion. They got some windows blown out. But fortunately, they were able to reopen about 4 or 5 days before our show, so we were still able to play there. But we're like, God,
not damn, don't book no more shows, man. You shit keeps happening.
I know, it's our fault. We book a show and a natural disaster happens.
There's somebody sent a text out that says, "Do not book Power Slave Iron Maiden Experience."
Bruce Dickinson's on the phone going, "Okay, something's going to have to happen in Nashville because these guys are getting ready to play and blow our asses off the stage."
Eddie has some bad mojo. Wow,
that's funny as hell. No,
that's not funny. I didn't realize they rebuilt the basement east though. That's pretty cool.
Actually,
I knew that they were doing it, but it is open now. Awesome.
Yeah, it is open because actually they wanted us to play there April 2nd. Grimey, the guy who owns it, messaged me yesterday about playing there April 2nd, but we're doing Huntsville April 3rd. And we already have a bunch of people that said they were coming down from Nashville to Huntsville for the show. And so we're afraid if we did it that soon, one, we have less than 2 weeks to promote it. So that's not much time. Two, it would take away from the Huntsville show as well and water each one down. So, I'm talking with them right now to try to book something with them in May or June, maybe. But it's all up in the air at this point because they just opened in there. And unfortunately, the Basement East is under an extreme limited capacity seating right now. So that's kind of an issue too.
So when you guys do play, Chris, what is your show? How long do you guys play?
Just under 2 hours.
Just under two. Yeah. So like I said, if you came to Evansville, you'd need an opening band or something Okay.
Yeah, because it's a concert style show.
I could play some acoustic songs for you. My dog has fleas.
Alan, we could get the hounds going for just a one or two. Yeah,
boo. I have to relearn all those
Fuck
songs.
You. Fuck you, Bill.
No, not that. I was booing the acoustic show in front of
Power Slave. Could you imagine actually booking an acoustic act before Iron Maiden tribute?
Hey, these dipshits have a painter.
We have the Peter, Paul, and Mary tribute right before the Iron Maiden tribute.
What are you saying, Chris?
I did a solo instrumental acoustic show open up for the Big Rock show. Ryan.
There you go. Other thing.
Of course, when I do instrumental acoustic, but I actually do instrumental acoustic with like a looper. So I do like Rainbow in the Dark, and I throw in some Metallica, some Joe Satriani.
That's
so
cool.
It's still kind of on the hard rock, vein of things. Just
so you're not looping like that red-haired Ireland guy that we know. God, most expensive concert I ever went in my life.
Ed Sheeran. Some shit.
God damn it! I went and I saw him in Nashville. I saw him at Bridgestone. Most expensive concert I've ever seen. And I'm sitting there not knowing what Ed Sheeran is. I honestly did. I was like clueless. But my wife wanted to go, so we get in the sandwich, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden he walks, and I'm like going, where's the fucking drums and shit? I mean, where's the band going to be? And all of a sudden he walks out and starts playing acoustic and loop. And I'm like going, kill this shit's all on tape. I go, he's lip syncing this shit. I mean, I just paid $500 for a fucking looping show. This is the worst shit ever.
Well, apparently Ed didn't think so.
Never again. Oh yeah, he took my money, went back to Ireland, laughing his ass off.
A lot of people's money.
His fucking plane has a rainbow, just like a leprechaun, all the way to fucking Ireland.
See, he used all of that money that he got from you to pay Bruce Dickinson to fly his airplane.
Oh Jesus! Yeah, never again. Yeah, I'm not a looper fan.
Ed Sheeran's fine. It's just the looping part.
He was funny in that one movie. So there you go.
Anyway. So Chris, we've touched upon your set list and all of that other stuff. What have we not touched upon for this tribute that you would like to discuss?
I'm not touching anything.
we just revamped our website, powerslaveband.com. We have merch available on there. We've got our own shirts now. We've got some other stuff that'll be available at shows as it kind of trickles in and stuff. We're hoping to play pretty much anywhere and everywhere as things start to open back up. So if anybody's watching, they got a really cool venue near them, hit us up. So, we can check into it or give it the info to our booking agent and try to, come out to different, different areas and stuff. So.
Yeah, it'd be cool. That April 24th show, that sounds like a.
Yeah, I might be able to do that. Plus, like I said, I'll give you
calendar.
I'll get, I'll send you a thing through email. I'll send you the links to the couple places here in Evansville.
That'd be great.
Because they'd be good for you to actually play.
Yeah.
Let me see. April 24th. I'm still looking at my calendar too. See where I'm at. April 24th is a Saturday. I'm on vacation that week.
Ooh.
If we don't go to California, I'll be around. So
I wouldn't go to California. You couldn't pay me enough money to go to California.
If it's not open completely, I'm not going to go. So
you're not going to go.
I don't think it's going to go.
Yeah. So anyway. Well, Chris, let's give Chris Senzak from the Decibel Geek Podcast a shout out for connecting us.
What a good dude. Yeah, thanks,
our buddy Chris.
We're going to be hanging out with him on August 7th and 8th in Nashville, Tennessee.
Will you be there, Chris? Pod
Expo.
As long as we're not playing out of town somewhere, yes, I have plans to go.
Good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I went the last year he did it was the first one I went to. It's funny because he did it 2 years before, and both times it coincided with this music industry convention that was happening in Nashville that I had to attend for business reasons and the music part of it. So unfortunately, I couldn't go the first 2 years, but I went last time and I had a blast. I thought it was, you know, fabulous, even better than I anticipated or expected.
And you didn't stop by our booth? What was up with that?
You know what? I'm sure I did because I literally stopped by like every podcaster's booth, you know. If you guys are handing out like stickers or buttons, I'm sure I've got them.
We had beer koozies.
We had beer koozies, and what else did we give away that last time?
I think just beer koozies.
Guitar picks.
Yeah, we had guitar picks last time.
Yeah.
So you know who you are now.
I could spot you a mile away. It's like, I know that dude.
I bought some cool Kiss memorabilia there and stuff. And
it's fun.
Yeah, it was very cool. So I'm looking forward to it this year for sure. So, you know, hopefully I've reached out to him. I say, hey, you know, if you want us to, you know, to play or, you know, interview or whatever, you know, we're totally open. I would love to be, you know, part of it any way possible. So, you know, he's aware of that. So we'll just see.
Well, if you're there and you come by the booth, you can sit down with us and we'll be glad to chat with you.
Yeah, cool. Definitely.
Actually, the best interview you'll ever have is to grab Christopher Williams, and have him sit down with you and interview you, because off the rails, dude.
Or E.T. Brown, him and E.T. Brown.
Brown a microphone and said, interview each other. Had no idea what to expect.
We just walked away.
The best.
Funny as shit. It was funny as shit. Those guys are hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You ought to hear, I don't know if Christopher's done his Ace impersonations, but
he's fun.
Chris, well, pimp your website one more time and pimp your personal website too. You're a guitar instructor, right?
Okay. Yes, I am a guitar instructor. Yeah. So the band is powerslaveband.com. My personal website's chrisdunett.com, chrisdunett. You can reach out to me for lessons there. I also have a website where I have online guitar courses called thedaoofguitar.com, T-A-O, like Chinese for the Tao, the way, thedaoofguitar.com. I have a couple online guitar courses there. I teach lessons via Skype and so on and so forth. But definitely, if you're an Iron Maiden fan, you know, check out our site, check out the, if you put my name into YouTube, that's where our videos are. I have a Power Slave playlist because we don't have our own YouTube channel yet, but I've got them on my YouTube channel as a separate playlist. So you can see live videos of us. There's two promo videos, and even the promo videos, even though they were edited, all the music was performed live. So we didn't actually go into a studio and multi-track that. What you hear in the promo videos was still 100% live as we performed it.
Cool.
So, but yeah, you know, Louisville, April 24th, Huntsville, Alabama, April 3rd, like I said, Birmingham, Alabama in July. Hopefully we'll get some more things in between then. So, if you're a Maiden fan, follow us on Facebook and stuff. So
cool. We'll see you in Louisville and we'll probably see you at Rockin' Pod.
So yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. That would be great, guys. Appreciate it.
Cool.
Awesome.
All right. Hang tight while I take us out of here.
Okay.
Visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our social media links and our past episodes. And until next time, peace out, people.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.